This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Now don't you let nobody turn you around, turn you around, turn you around. Now don't you let nobody turn you around, keep on to Galilee. Now don't you let nobody turn you around, turn you around, turn you around. Now don't you let nobody turn you around, keep on to Galilee. I would not be
Hello, listener. Our devotion for today is entitled First Fruits of Victory Over Death. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52 and 53. During his ministry, Jesus raised the dead to life. He raised the son of the widow of Nain and Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus. But these were not clothed with immortality. After they were raised, they continued to be subject to death and decay. But those who came forth from the grave at Christ's resurrection were raised to everlasting life. They were the multitude of captives who ascended with him as trophies of his victory over death and the grave. These went into the city and appeared unto many, declaring, Christ has risen from the dead, and we be risen with him. Some were terrified at the sight. They bore the most undeniable evidence not only of their own resurrection, but of the resurrection of the crucified Redeemer. After his resurrection, Christ did not show himself to any save his followers, but testimony in regard to his resurrection was not wanting. It came from various sources, from the 500 who assembled in Galilee to see their risen Lord. This testimony could not be quenched. The sacred facts of Christ's resurrection were immortalized. Those who had been raised were presented as trophies to the heavenly universe, samples of the resurrection of all who receive and believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They were a symbol of the final resurrection of the righteous. That same power that has raised Christ from the dead will raise his church as his bride and glorify it with Christ above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the heavenly courts, the world above. Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. This very scene, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, was observed in type by the Jews at one of their sacred feasts called the Feast of the Jews. They came up to the temple when the first fruit had been gathered in and held a feast of thanksgiving. The first fruits of the harvest crop was sacredly dedicated to the Lord. As Christ ascends while in the act of blessing his disciples, an army of angels encircles him as a cloud. Christ takes with him the multitude of captives as his trophy. He will himself bring to the Father the first fruits of them that slept, to present them to God as an assurance that he is conqueror over death and the grave. Written by Ellen G. White, my name is Lois Amachimafu.
Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Note down this quotation and read afterwards. That is Psalm 139. Read from chapter 1 to the last verse. The verse 1 to 24. Examine yourself. Sometimes our sins can block answers to prayer. Let the prayer of the psalmist be one of yours. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Remember, God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. God knows us. God is with us. And His greatest gift is to allow us to know Him. He is ready to search you. Examine yourself. And if you cannot find anything, ask God to search yourself. And then ask Him for forgiveness so that your prayers will be answered. God bless you. I am Belle Dollabill.
Seem to disappear, and the peace that comforts me always comes when you are near. And your love's too much for my heart to contain. Joy too much.
Cherished listener, brace yourself as we bring to you a continuation of the discussion. Wills.
Welcome back to your show, Radio Lawyer. We are joined by a resource person. Welcome, Mr. Ansah.
Thank you, Nat.
Before we went for the break, I was talking of a situation where people who once lived as husband and wife no longer live as husband and wife. One person dies intestate. What happens?
Thank you, Nat. The law confers rights to people based on certain designations. Mm. So this evening we've been talking about child or children,
yes.
Spouse, parent, and customary family. As a matter of fact, each one of these could be a ground for dispute.
Okay.
A person who claims to be a parent may be disputed as
being the parent.
As being the parent. A person who claims to be a child may be disputed as being a child, yeah. And a person who claims to be a spouse,
okay,
equally may be disputed as to possessing that capacity. So, in the circumstance that you have painted or described, if a person holds himself or herself as a spouse, the question is, what is the proof or evidence? Now, if the couple had merely separated, but had not gone through the formal processes, traditional or otherwise, to validly dissolve the marriage, then the marriage would still be subsisting.
Okay.
And upon the death of one intestate, the person would have right to inherit a portion of the estate in that capacity as a surviving spouse. Yes. Okay. And the same will go for children. And let's say that a special provision is made for children.
Yes.
So that even children born out of wedlock, provided that there is a proof, and this goes for men, because you hardly have a situation where women have children that society doesn't know that they have those children.
Okay.
But more frequent scenario is where a man dies and a lot of his own family members get to know only after the death of the man. In that circumstance, once there is evidence that in the lifetime of the man recognized the child and related to the child as a child, that child would also be entitled to be recognized as a child and be entitled to share in the estate. And as we have already articulated, the law has a posture of protecting the interests of children. And I think the philosophy here is that the child must not suffer for the indiscretion of the parent. So even if that child was born out of wedlock, he's still a child.
I ask this question because it is a very common phenomenon. A man marries a woman, or two people are married, and then for one reason or the other, they separate and stay at different locations. And the common thing that goes around is that, oh, they are no longer together. 5-10 years, okay, one party dies. And then there is the general perception that, well, they were not husband and wife. And therefore, if I to an extent, they would say that the woman should not even come to the funeral, the man should not even step the grounds where the funeral is being held. And it creates a lot of problems.
It does. And you know, in the circumstance you have described, one may have to lead evidence to prove that at the time of the death of testate, he or she was still a spouse. The proof that there was marriage in the first place, and the fact that that marriage was never dissolved. Separation per se is not equal to divorce. So I think that so where there is a dispute, one may have to lead evidence to prove that there was in existence marriage and that marriage was never dissolved. Also, you mentioned a very important point. Sometimes, even where there is a validly existing marriage, upon death of one of the parties, the family may refuse to recognize the surviving spouse as a spouse. They may not permit him or her to perform customary rites that under custom ought to be performed by a surviving spouse upon the death of the other party. That in itself would not, and I have been involved in situations where posters announcing the death of the person will be prepared and certain names will be omitted. Yes. And sometimes different parties will prepare their own posters. All of that will be after the fact. Those ones by and themselves will not be the proof.
Okay.
It will be what happened before the death. Okay. So I know these things happen. But yes. So,
not long ago, I was talking to somebody and her beef really was that she had a child with a man. The man already had a wife, and I think he had children with that person. And then the man also had some other woman somewhere. And then the man died. Now, the house in which they were staying belonged to the man. After the death of the man, their family people have come. They say she should check out of the house. And she didn't understand why they were asking her to check out. Looking at it from a purely social point of view, you would say that there is a certain level of injustice. But I asked her one question, whether the man performed any customary rites of marriage. And she said no. Now, in a situation like this, how does the law look on such a person?
I think the woman can make a valid, strong claim on two different grounds.
Okay.
In the story you narrated, the woman had a child with the
man. And in fact, was staying with the man for a while until he passed.
So earlier we said that if a man was survived by only a child, for example, without a spouse, and at the time of his death, he had only one house, then the household chattels and that single house is inherited wholly by the surviving child.
But in this instance, the man has
other children
and other women.
Other women he married.
The first one he married.
And the marriage had not been dissolved.
No.
Yeah, so that is very common. Statistics show that a lot of what you describe as injustice, abuses, occur in informal marital situations. Okay. People who just common law marriage, if you like,
consort.
Yes, they just agree to stay together without performing any formal rites. A lot of the abuses that occur in spousal relationships occur in those kinds of situations. And if you are a woman and you are living in that kind of situation, you must be aware that you could face difficulties eventually upon the death of the... I mean, we must put it bluntly, because if the man had a wife and marriages and estranged, or the the relationship is straight, but there has not been a formal dissolution.
Yes.
And you go in and squat there and
take charge.
Yeah. You are not a wife until rites are performed. There have been a situation where a distinction has been made.
Mm-hmm.
Much earlier, sometime last year when we're talking about marriage and incidents, what would make two people operating together be described as a married couple.
Married couple.
Yes. A court in Ghana had ever ruled in a situation where even though formal custom had not been performed, but at different times, family members had recognized and invited a man to perform right as a husband.
Yes.
And then when the woman died, and because of what was involved with the estate, the family member suddenly said, they didn't know the man. The law went on the side of the man to protect him. But that's very isolated. Normally, under the circumstances you have described, if you are not a wife, you are not a wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll look at a very interesting situation. We'll see.
You just listened to a discussion on the topic wills. A continuation will be brought to you later.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on +233 244 673528 or 0244 235017, or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Voice of Hope. Take a little time to talk to the Lord. Take a little time to talk.
Alright.
Yeah.
Take a little time to talk to the Lord. Take a little time to talk.
Oh, a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Take a little time to talk to the Lord.
A little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Take a little time, alright. He in troubles of every kind. Thank God I'll always find that a little talk with my Jesus makes it right, all right.
How well do I remember
when I was a sinner for me,
calling for you,
mercy on the portals, he's waiting and watching.
Friend, you are welcome once again to the program Moments of Truth. I am your pastor, Ebenezer Kwe. We have been looking at the topic, Hope in the Den, as we look at our general theme, Hope in the Midst of Hopelessness. And as we continue with this series, pay particular attention and God will bless you. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, as we continue with this presentation. May you bring hope in the situation of my friend, my listener. Lord, speak into our lives. Let heaven be on our side, and let all things be done according to your grace. Touch me with the Holy Spirit, and use me to speak at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been looking at a dream of Daniel in Daniel chapter 7. And we said that he saw a dream in which he saw four wonderful beasts and also a judgment scene. His vision parallels the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, which Daniel interpreted to him. But Daniel's old dream in chapter 7 comes with some details. This is the man Daniel. But in spite of these vital and significant qualities, he had his own enemies. Daniel dreamt in chapter 7. He saw beasts. But Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 2, he saw an image. And we said, these dreams have commonalities. They are parallel, and yet there are some details in Daniel chapter 7. A dream which Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember. Yet, Daniel was able to show him the dream and also its interpretation. If we compare the dream of the image in Daniel chapter 2 and the beasts in chapter 7, this is how it goes. The head of gold is the same power as the lion with two wings. The chest and arms of silver is the same as the bear with three ribs in its mouth. You remember that the bear has three ribs in its mouth and also raised on one side. This represents the three powers it has to conquer in order to become a world power. And these three powers were Egypt, Babylon, and Lydia. And indeed, Medo-Persia conquered those nations according to history before coming to the world stage. The belly and thighs of brass equals or parallels to the leopard with four heads and four wings, which wings depict how swift Greece was able to fight the then world to become an empire. The four heads represent the four generals who came after the demise of Alexander the Great. These four generals were Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, and the other one. Friends, God's word is truth, and what God has said shall surely come to pass. The legs of iron also parallels the terrible beast which had 10 horns and an iron teeth. The feet and toes of iron mixed with clay also parallels the 10 horns that were on the head of the terrible beast. Then, in Daniel chapter 7 verse 8, he said, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. This little horn with human features was not found in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, but it became a power after plucking out three of the nations that came out of pagan Rome. In Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, the Bible says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Yes, he did change times and laws. There is confusion in our calendars today. Today there are calendars that begin with Monday as the first day of the week. And there are some also begin with Sunday as the first day of the week. And you ask the question, which one is true? What is happening? Even there is confusion in Christendom. Some say Saturday is a Sabbath. Others say it is Sunday. And also we have the Islamic world, which chose Friday as the day of worship. Yet in both the Bible and in the Holy Quran, the truth is there. The truth says that the Sabbath is Saturday. And so the attempt of that little horn to change time and laws has brought confusion into our world. That judgment scene of Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 and 10 patterns or it parallels the huge rock that was cast in Daniel chapter 2 without hands. It shows both the investigative judgment and the executive judgment. Like I said from the beginning, judgment is going on in our lives today. Even today, our records are being taken daily. God has assigned unto each person an angel who looks and takes care of you, my listener, and records whatever goes on in your life. I am not here to threat you, but just to tell you that God has interest in your life. He's looking out to help you to become what he wants you to be. And therefore, as we look at these two dreams in Daniel chapter 2 and in Daniel chapter 7, we can find the parallels. We can find the parallels that these are dreams that depict what will happen from the days of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, until the return of Jesus, the king. And it happened just as the Bible has said it. What it means is that if Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom ruled as God has shown, if Medo-Persia came to pass, if Greece, Alexander, and his people came
came to pass, if Rome and all the Caesars and the 10 kingdoms came out of pagan Rome, as well as papal Rome is now ruling, and try to change time and laws, then what it means is that the kingdom of God will surely come. And men may say, men may scoff and say, where is the promise? From all this while, the promise of his kingdom has not come. And yet, we know that if these ones have happened, then God will bring his kingdom to pass. Friend, I invite you to follow me in this series. Friend, I invite you to be what God wants you to be. He is ready to do something very special. And in the next series, we'll see how the people threat the life of Daniel. And yet, he stood fast. And God bless him. May God be with you. May he be your portion as you continue to listen to this series. This is the Moment of Truth. I am Pastor Ebenezer Kwe. And God be with you. God bless you as you continue to listen. Amen.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on +233-244-673528 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595. Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of
Hope. I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now. Thank you.